In our children's meeting in our church, we do very frequently give away prizes. But I think even for the little children, there would be no prizes for guessing what subject this chapter is all about in the Word of God. It is most evident, most obvious to any reader that this is a chapter all about the resurrection, all about the apostles' encouragement and strengthening of the people in Corinth, their faith and boldness and great comfort that is able to be drawn not just from the knowledge of Christ's glorious and wonderful atoning death, but particularly of his resurrection. It was the Apostle Paul himself that said that when he reflected on all of the many, many things he had had to leave behind as he came to Christ, that his great ambition, his wonderful, glorious hope, and that which he clung to is that despite all that he had left, he desired to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, having no confidence in his flesh, but that that power might both be enjoyed and might influence, and that he might live in the light of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the title that I want to give to this message this evening is, If You Believe in the Resurrection. And I call it that on purpose. There's a tiny little word there, two letters only. If you believe in the resurrection. Notice that. If you believe in the resurrection. And I'm going to make three simple observations. If you believe in the resurrection, there is something that you can say. And if you believe in the resurrection, there is something that you can expect. And if you believe in the resurrection, there is something that you can shout and sing about. If you believe in the resurrection, the first thing that I see here is a list. And I believe that the Apostle Paul gathers us around a graveside that is almost like an imaginary grave of humanity. I'm sure that you've stood around a very solemn, sad scene. A loved one is departed. The coffin is slowly lowered by the bearers down into the earth. And that first handful of dirt is cast there, and tears start to fall down people's cheeks as the terror, the horror, probably the most painful of earthly experiences, the sadness of a departed loved one, starts to really grip someone in the reality of it. That this person is gone, and they are saying goodbye to this person forever. The phone won't ring the next day, and they pick it up, and this person, it was their voice. It won't happen again. They won't get a letter through the post, and this person had penned some greeting to them. There is a solemnity, a finality about death, isn't there? And we all know that. And the Apostle Paul gathers us around the graveside, if you like, and he looks down into the grave, and he marks for us several things that, if you believe in the resurrection, you can say. You can say goodbye. You can say goodbye. The first thing, it's in verse 43 here. Verse 42, 43, 44. The first thing that you can say, if you believe in the resurrection, is you can say goodbye to corruption. You look in the graveside, and the body is being lowered into the grave. And the apostle is describing that it is like a seed being planted in the ground. An appropriate and obvious picture is there, as the body is physically, most literally, planted in the ground. But he is speaking spiritually of the resurrection hope, the glorious victory of Christ. And he's saying, look, there are many things and they are going to be no more. When you say goodbye to that body, you are saying goodbye to certain things. You are saying goodbye, of course, first to corruption. In all of your homes, you have fridges, don't you? And the reason that you have fridges in your homes is because of corruption. The things that you buy from the supermarket, they're perishable. And that's what this word corruptible or corruption means, to perish or to be perishable. And in this life, we are perishing. We are perishable. I was talking to Dr. Green earlier, and then a similar sort of subject came up with Dr. Douglas as well, about our age. And you can go down to some chemists, and I'm sure you can find several products, and they will charge you plenty of money to buy those products, and they will attempt to make claims to you that they can defeat the signs of aging. I've never had much use for any of those products, you won't be surprised to know, but there are many people and the grey hairs start to appear, or the hair starts to recede or disappear altogether, and the wrinkles are a few more each year as the years roll on. We are aging, we are perishing. That's how the Bible describes it. We are perishable, just like the food that we purchase. But you can say goodbye to corruption. And then there's another. It says that it is sown in corruption, and it says it is sown in dishonor, verse 43. You can say goodbye to dishonor. As long as we're in this life, not only are we in a perishing state, a dying and decaying body, but we are also in a body full of dishonor. And the word means to be shamed, or to have reproach, guilty shame. That's dishonor. If there is dishonor upon you, that is, there is some guilt in you, there is some shame in your heart. And as long as we are in this mortal body, and our conscience is at all alive, we know that we have dishonor. And all of us have those different things wherein we may each be ashamed. But as you see the body lowered into the ground, if you believe in the resurrection, you can say goodbye to dishonor. You can say goodbye also to weakness. I wonder, do you ever feel your own inability to be diligent or disciplined? You have weakness. All of us do. If you don't believe that you have any weakness, then obviously pride is your weakness. We all of us have weakness. The Apostle Paul cried out, "Oh, wretched man that I am!" What was his weakness? I'll tell you, the same weakness that you and I have. The good that he knew that he should do, he found himself not doing it. And the evil that he knew he should not do, he found himself doing that. That's our weakness. My, how all of our troubles have been caused primarily by ourselves. But if you believe in the resurrection, you can say goodbye to that weakness. And if you believe in the resurrection, you can say goodbye to your natural body. We all have a natural body. Bound up we are with time and sense and eating and drinking and sleeping and dressing and washing and working and living and loving and speaking and talking and all that this world entails. We have to think and give time and thought and effort and energy to all of this life, don't we? We live confined, restricted by necessity, by obligation to a natural body. As that body is lowered into the ground, that loved one, a brother, a sister, mother, a father, a son, a daughter, as they have confidence and faith in the resurrection and the power of our Saviour, you can say goodbye to a natural body. He sums this up in later, a few verses down, in verse 53, to describe it as our mortality. our mortality, the state of being inescapably subject to death. We are mortal beings. One day, we must be called home if the Lord has not returned. That time will come. And friends, folks will stand around your graveside as they will stand around mine. And I hope for you that you die in Christ. Because then you can say goodbye to mortality, corruptibility, weakness, a natural body. You can say goodbye to your dishonor. But then I want you to notice the opposite of these things. Well, not only can you say something, you can expect something. If you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, if you believe that as he died and perished for your sin, and he offered an atoning sacrifice on the cross for your sin to please God to be punished in your place, as he was buried in the tomb, and on the third day, if you believe that the bars of death couldn't hold him, and he burst asunder the bars of death, and he defeated death. He defeated the power and the wages of sin. He defeated the penalty of sin in you. If you believe that, then not only are you able to say goodbye in hope and anticipation of all these earthly restraints and troubles and concerns and pains of this world, but you can expect, you can anticipate, you can say hello to that which lies before. He says, this corruption must put on incorruption. If you believe in the resurrection, that's the first thing to expect. Incorruption. As corruptible means to perish, so incorruption means to be imperishable, unaging, undecaying, the glorified state beyond the grave is one of incorruptibility. There can never be any change or decay in that new body beyond the resurrection for God's people. You can expect also glory. What a lovely word that is, glory. Sometimes we refer to heaven by that name. Glory. That name will do it, won't it? We see through a glass darkly, but that name will do. It's glory. It's the brightness of the immediate presence of the God who shall wipe away every tear, in whose presence we shall be forevermore. We shall be free from the weakness of our minds, the weakness of our faith, the weakness of our conscience, of our hearts, of our bodies, of its frailty. And in all of these ways we will be free. We will be in glory. And we ourselves will be glorified. That's our calling. Not only can you expect incorruption and glory, if you believe in the resurrection, you can expect power where once there was weakness. You can expect never again to be vexed by your own sin, by your own folly, by your own sinful heart. You shall be robed in white, covered in the pure, spotless righteousness of Jesus Christ. Your wedding garment will be upon you, and you will sit at the marriage supper, free from the weakness and dwelling in power. For corruptibility, you'll put on incorruption. And for dishonor, you'll have glory. For weakness, you'll have power. For a natural body, you'll have a spiritual one. Job says that man is born unto trouble as surely as the sparks fly upward. And if you've lived very long in this world, you'll know that that's true. You've all had troubles. You've all had earthly cares. You've all had times of sadness or stress, where your heart is weighed down, where you are full of burden and fear or care or anxiety. But in heaven, these things will melt away. In the glory land, these things cannot find a resting place. And you will have a spiritual body, set free from these earthly things. Heaven will be your home. And as you have mortality, so you will then have immortality. Immortality. Power of everlasting life. That is the promise of God in Christ Jesus. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, should not be corrupted, should not die, but have everlasting life. And my dear friends, if you believe in the resurrection, you can see standing round your own graveside, and you can see that you will be planted, yes, in dishonor and in weakness and in corruptibility. Oh, you know more than others your own failures, your own sins. Only you and God know the extent of them. But you will be sown in these things. Ah, but you will be raised in a better state. You will be raised in glory, in power, in incorruptibility, in immortality forevermore. If you believe in the resurrection. There is something to say. There's something to anticipate, and there's finally something to shout and something to sing. Now, if any of you use emails and text messages, I believe what the Apostle Paul says at the end of this chapter would most likely be expressed with lots of exclamation marks after it and underlining it and putting it in bold. He says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? He can't find something to fear in death. He can't find something to object to about the grave. He can't think of a conceivable reason as to why he would not want immediately to die, immediately to go down into the ground. Why? Because there is no sting, there is no power, there is no fear, there is no hurt nor harm that death and the grave will cause to those who die in Christ. Now, of course, there is, he says, a power or a strength that's in our hearts, in our lives, that's bound up in sin. And it is compounded by the law of God, which we all know is broken. And the sting of death, or the fear of death, the power and strength of death, is that we know that when we die, we shall meet our Maker. We shall come face to face with God. But my dear friends, if Jesus Christ, the firstborn among many brethren, he has already appeared face to face with God to represent you. And if you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and if you have hope and faith in Christ alone. If you have repented, and if you have believed in the power of His resurrection, and you can shout with me, "Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." There are so many of our hymns that are based on this great truth. You know this one? "When all my labors and trials are o'er, when I shall sit, and when I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, that will be glory for me. When, by the gift of His infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on His face will through the ages be glory for me. Friends will be there I have loved long ago. Joy like a river around me will flow. Yet just a smile from my Saviour, I know that will be glory for me." What about this one? "We are never, never weary of the grand old song, glory to God, hallelujah. We can sing it loud as ever with our faith more strong, glory to God, hallelujah. Oh, the children of the Lord have a right to shout and sing. For the way is growing bright, and our souls are on the wing. We are going by and by to the palace of a king. Glory to God. Hallelujah." One more. "Forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be. Life from the death or dead is in that word. 'Tis immortality. Here in the body pent, absent from Him I roam, yet nightly pitch my moving tent a day's march nearer home. My Father's house on high, home of my soul how near. At times to faith's foreseeing eye thy golden gates appear. Ah, then my spirit faints to reach the land I love, the bright inheritance of saints, Jerusalem above. Forever with the Lord, forever in His will, the promise of that faithful word, Lord, here in me fulfill. Be Thou at my right hand, then I shall never fear. Uphold me, Lord, and I shall stand through grace. Be Thou at my right hand, then I shall never fail. Uphold me, Lord, and I shall stand through grace I must prevail. So when my latest breath shall rend the veil in twain, by death I shall escape from death, and life eternal gain. That resurrection word, that shout of victory. Once more, forever with the Lord. Amen. So let it be."